We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back.
Oh, you're 1 hour away from another martini,
this
Mega.
This is going to be something. This is going
to
be something.
I want
Trying
you to end
keep
strong.
Christian on the rails.
I am 100% focused.
No, you were not.
Argentina
you were
is now advanced.
It was seconds what? Before we came on air that you said, look at that guy's back.
Yo, he's got a giant tiger.
He's got a giant lion on his back.
No, it was a tiger.
You were staring at the shirtless soccer players behind me on TV.
You know why I do that? Because I think about, like, why would a guy, one guy had, like, they're all taking off their shirts in Argentina. Like, you know, they're all taking off their shirts and running around the pitch. And one guy's got, like, you know, a big, you know, hands praying with the rosary and, like, on one side of his back and something else. And this one guy had this, his entire back was a tiger's head. Like, what are you trying to tell everybody with a tiger's head all on your back? Like, what, you're like, you know, 130 pounds soaking wet. Like, who's, like, what do we, what, what's with the tiger?
You got the eye of the tiger.
They don't know anything about Rocky movies out
there.
Yeah, they
definitely
no, they,
do.
Nobody is
That's
singing
a global movie.
Eye of the Tiger. Like, those guys at that age, guys at my age, may get a tiger on their back because of the eye of the tiger.
Do you ever see the tattoo that Ben Affleck has?
I've seen pictures, and I always thought it was fake.
It's real.
What is it?
You've never seen this? Google Ben Affleck tattoo. You need to do this in real time.
I can do this
time,
on a work computer.
I want,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
No,
it's not,
it's not like inappropriate. It's just a little bit shocking.
Holy moly.
I encourage anyone at home, if you're not driving, to
is
Google
this.
Is
that a dragon?
Yeah. It's a dragon that takes up his entire back. Which also, like, I guess you can probably do different things with CGI now, so it's not that big of a deal, but wouldn't you feel like as an actor that there's going to, or maybe you have a body double, that that's going to just, like, be so much time in the makeup chair covering a giant...
It's a phoenix.
Colorful...
Excuse me, Megan, I do believe that is a phoenix and
yeah,
not
a, phoenix.
A dragon, as correctly stated.
Yeah, so I do kind of, like, question people's tattoo choices. What led you down the road that made you think, this is what I want to get. This, I want this particular image to represent me and to let everybody know that this represents me for the rest of my life. So when I'm walking down the beach without my shirt on, I want people, oh man, don't mess with him. He's got a phoenix on the back. Well, he may have magical, mystical powers.
I'm really into Maroon 5, okay?
Yeah.
So I got a Maroon 5 tattoo.
What is it? What is it? I mean, I get, like, people have, like, little ones or whatever, stuff like that. But it just, I think about it. And that guy had a big, ginormous tiger. His whole back was a tiger.
I don't have any, like, I don't judge tattoos. I don't have any tattoos, but I would be worried about getting, like, an animal tattoo, because when you start putting the weight on, as everybody does when they age, that animal is going to stretch and get weird looking. Like, if you get a butterfly, like, if you get a cute little butterfly on your hip or something, and you go through some weird stuff in your life, that might just be a big moth. You know,
I'm
a big floppy moth.
I've been, like, trying to, like, I was like, oh, let's, like, you know, couples tattoos, which
you,
I feel like
you
is
and
like
Kim?
Which I will never do. I will not
that
do
is,
it.
That
it's
is
the kiss
literally
of death.
Jason Tatum's kiss of death to the crowd that he does.
Really?
Like, that's what the tattoo, when the tattoo artist finishes you and your wife's tattoo, he'll do that to you.
No,
like,
I know, right? Have a joyous
divorce.
Month. Because, yeah, he's like, hey, I have a good lawyer.
Pull a divorce, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be.
I don't know why he's Italian.
Yeah, I know. He's an Italian, you know, tattoo artist.
Exactly. He's kissing everybody.
Yeah, he's kissing everybody, talking about his pasta, his chicken palm. Yeah, so that
this
was it.
This is a bad decision. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, my God, you're going to need a divorce soon.
I have
Call the attorney.
Wait, you have a what tattoo?
I have an animal tattoo.
What do you have?
Hold on, wait, don't say anything. Let's
We're going to get to the Patriots, I
Let's
promise.
Guess what
I
his promise. Animal tattoo is.
All right, hold on.
Okay, I'm going to say
You'll
it is
it.
A ferret.
Where? You have to say where on the body.
Where is it?
Oh, really? I say where? That's going to be your arm.
It's going to be your arm. It is on my arm. Technically, it is on my left bicep. And
you
no.
weren't supposed to give the location.
No, I said it's his arm.
I'm going to get it.
Okay, it's not his pinky. So I say ferret.
It's not a ferret.
Left bicep. That's a good place for like a snake.
Not a snake.
No? Okay. Mm.
You're close.
Ooh, it's a lizard.
Oh, bald eagle.
He's not that American.
He said snake. I said close.
He's not that American.
Eagle.
He would never have a bald. America!
A lizard.
A gecko.
You're around it.
A shark.
It's not. No, it's a reptile.
They're predators.
A tadpole.
Closer.
A frog.
Closer.
Okay,
frog?
I give up.
Will you just tell us?
It's a turtle.
A turtle.
That was my next guess. Yeah.
A turtle?
Explain.
You know why?
Why?
No. Turtles.
I like turtles.
All right.
That's it?
That's you. You just got it because you like turtles.
No, it's the artwork fit.
Does it have like some very deep meaning about your family or something?
Because
I don't want to make fun of it.
No, I would say yes, it does have a deeper meaning. But also, I found a good artist to make a good piece of art and put it into the whole design on my left arm.
Huh. How about this for a segue? If I was Baker Mayfield, I would get that play call from the Raiders and the final drive drawn up as a tattoo on my back.
No, like if you were Baker Mayfield after the game that he had, after the minute and 45 seconds that he had in the fourth quarter to bring that team back and have them win that game, I mean, I don't even know what it would be, because what would represent
what he was able to accomplish
rising
from the ashes?
From the ashes, huh? Yeah, because he has been knocked around, pushed around, left for dead, really. So Baker Mayfield gets cut. The Rams pick him up. And he shows up Tuesday, games at home, Thursday night. They give him the playbook. He doesn't start, by the way, but he plays in the. He starts the second series. Now, it looked ugly at times. It looked like he didn't know. I mean, receivers are going one way. Backs were going one way. He was going the other. He was getting sacked a lot. But, man, when they got that ball in the two and they got a couple breaks because the Raiders are stupid, he just took advantage of it. And I feel like there was so much arrogance and stupidity with the Raiders, especially on defense, that just said, you know what, I don't think this guy, this former Heisman Trophy winner, number one pick in the draft, this guy that was a rookie MVP, this guy that went to the playoffs that was a starter for a while in this league, couldn't hit a fade route with press man coverage? How stupid are you? Like, I feel like there's the arrogance and the stupidity with the Raiders' defensive core. It's just second to none. You just allowed him to beat your ass, and you have no one to blame but yourself, because he can make that throw all day long. Now, he may not be able to consistently do it, but you gave him an easy look like that where you have some rookie, Sam Snead, who is a rookie undrafted free agent, playing press coverage on Van Jefferson all day long. You don't need a playbook for that.
Christian, I totally agree with you. I think arrogant and stupid is exactly the way to describe what happened with the Raiders on that final drive. There was a 17-play, 75-yard drive that ended with the Cam Akers touchdown before that. But then, so Baker Mayfield gets it back for an 8-play, 98-yard drive that ended with a Van Jefferson touchdown. Extra point is good. But well before you get into the point where you have that stupid, stupid defensive play call of putting them in the press coverage, you have a defensive pass interference by Amik Robertson that is the most obvious.
He panicked.
He was clinging. Yeah. He was like a boa constrictor on the receiver's arm. I don't know how he ever thought that was going to get away with it, but then it was overshadowed by, I think, possibly the dumbest penalty that any player has picked up this entire NFL season. I'm talking about after Baker Mayfield got sacked and he's holding the ball, and he's about to hand it over to the ref. The ref is standing right there. All play has stopped. Guys are standing around. They've gotten off the ground. Tackle Jerry Tillery knocks the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands and gets not only a...
Not by accident either.
No.
He swats it out of the hand.
As an FU, you don't get to hold on to the ball. Not only is it just an unsportsmanlike penalty, it stops the clock. They didn't have any timeouts.
It stops the clock. It gives you an extra 15 yards, and it gives you a first down. So you had mentioned earlier that, hey, they stopped the play. Well, the clock was still running.
Yeah.
But once they throw the flag, the clock stops. They give him 15 yards. They give him an automatic first down. So they just keep getting chunk plays after chunk plays, and it's just an indication of just how bad they are and how many, you know, they've had so many leads, like four leads of 13 points or more going into the second half, and they've lost every single game.
That's unbelievable.
I think it's like the first time since like
1930
or something
like that.
It's
believable when you watch
that drive. It's like historically bad when you talk about a team that is doing everything right, but they just keep doing everything wrong when it matters most. So they deserve everything they're getting. Like absolutely everything they're getting. To me, like I can draw a comparison to the Patriots though. Like it didn't look as bad.
It's uncomfortable how much there's a comparison to the Patriots.
It is, right?
I don't think
people want to like admit it, but like they do the same thing. And not with a minute 45 left and with no timeouts, but the ball was on the 2-yard line.
I would push back against that because if there's one thing that the Patriots defense has done consistently, it's take advantage of bad quarterbacks. And Baker looked really good on those last two drives, don't get me wrong. Mm. But I don't think that they've given a lot of opportunities to really bad quarterbacks.
My point
and
is
Baker,
like as far as
the position
crumbling,
he was in.
Like playing, being stupid, having stupid plays, not blocking the right guy, getting a block, a punt block, having a kickoff return for a touchdown, like just, holding, like getting a fresh set of downs, stopping them on defense, getting the ball back, but then having a penalty on the punt return, and then a penalty on the first play, and then almost just so many bad things. You go, holy crap, you suck.
I still don't think any penalty is as bad as the one that Tillery got, knocking that ball out of the hands. Like, I don't know if he was just hyped up about the sack.
No, he was arrogant. He was an arrogant dope.
It was so dumb.
He didn't even sack him. It was Crosby
and
Jones.
I know, he's hyped on behalf of his guys.
Yeah, I mean, that went from a 9-yard loss to a 6-yard gain and the clock stopped. Like, that's about as bad as it can get. That's about as bad as you can F a play up like
that.
See,
I would say, like, in those situations, most teams, you get the ball on the 2-yard line with a minute 45 left, no timeouts.
With the quarterback who just flew out.
Yeah,
for
so
the
like,
day.
What is he really going to do? Like, how many options does he really have? Right. So you give him obvious answers to the test. You press man with no safety help. Like the safety's in the middle of the field, or he cheats one way or the other. So it's obvious for any competent quarterback to sit there and go, "I'm going to go left," or "I'm going to go right." So he does the same play twice, and they keep coming up on the same defense. It's amazing. That guy should get fired. Like Josh McDaniels is going to have to answer. But the thing with Josh is, like, I saw all the post-game sound, and he was almost, I'm not going to say gaslighting, okay, but he was almost, like, deflecting and manipulating the truth. Like, the truth is that defense was not very good. The Rams were broken. You couldn't score. You couldn't finish. You got in the red zone multiple times. You fumbled the ball. And then when it mattered most, you choked it away. Can you imagine how much better this would be if they would have won this game? The Patriots go in there. They're still in it. They're out of it. Their chances of making the playoffs, like, went to, like, I don't know, like 5% or something like that. Like they're just terrible. It's remarkable how bad this season has gone for them.
So David Carr, we verified this earlier. So this is a real blue check mark. David Carr tweeted out this quote from Baker Mayfield. This was last night in postgame. Said Baker Mayfield said, "I was completely shocked they lined up in press man with 15 seconds left." I still think the bigger problem, like the defensive coordination was bad. The defensive play calling at the end, unforgivable. But the stuff before that, just the look of the entire Raiders team under Josh McDaniels, it's just a disaster. And they have to keep paying them. They can't afford to fire them and hire someone else.
They're committed to. They already came out. Remember, before they went on this little winning streak, they came out and they said, "All right, listen, he's good. We're not going anywhere." But they didn't went on a winning streak. They were winning. They had a bunch of games where they came from behind. They had a walk off against the Broncos. Josh Jacobs was running like crazy. And you're like, "All right, this should be an easy little tune-up before you play the Patriots. That'll be a big game." And then they just choked it away. Choked it away. It's listen, good luck next year, Josh. It'll still be a good game.
All right. Well, we'll see him in 2 weeks, but Patriots will see the Cardinals Monday night. What are the implications for Bill Belichick? One guy in this backyard says his whole future with the Patriots could be on the line Monday night. We'll get to that right after trending.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. So Greg Bedard, he has the Bedard Patriots pod. Everybody's got a podcast, right?
You can't write about
the Patriots without having a podcast that has your name in it.
No.
So he's got his podcast. And I feel like I don't need to set this up. Just listen to the sound and we're going to react.
People around the team, including some very good sources of mine who have never steered me wrong, have basically indicated that this Cardinals game on Monday night with the Patriots going out for their West Coast swing is among, if not the most important game of Belichick's career post-Tom Brady. If the Patriots don't win this game, then I think there is a serious question about whether Belichick is the future head coach of this team. This is almost a must win on Monday night against the Cardinals as far as Belichick's concerned. And I think it's, you know, things have a chance to go off the rails.
Sounds like an ultimatum.
This is
win
the
or else.
Most important game of Belichick's career post-Brady.
Okay, I guess I'm going to have to play along because...
I feel like we've heard that a few times.
I feel like we've heard it. I know things have, like, coming off that Buffalo loss, like, it looked as bad. That's probably the worst I have ever seen them play. And just effort level was bad.
Did you watch
intelligence
Buffalo
was bad.
Because those
were
bad games.
But this one was, like, almost pathetically bad. Just from, if you add the penalties, the lack of just, you know, intensity, like, how important that game was, division game. They beat your ass, like, twice last year. They didn't punt once. The biggest part of that game was like, oh, my God, are they going to punt or are they not going to punt? Are they going to force them to punt? Oh, my God, this is great. Like, that was the highlight of that game. And even though you were still in striking distance, it felt like they were just toying with you. Like, they were just kind of just, we're not really into it right now and you're not good enough to do anything about it. And they weren't. So my thing is, like, they could go out there and they could, like, and lose this game. And if it's just a tough physical game, that doesn't mean – he's not losing his job. Like, Bill's done enough, accomplished enough, that even if they lose every single game, he'll be back next year.
Arcan?
I think that if you're looking at this season the way a lot of people have and the way that Tommy Curran and other people have sort of looked at it, and you heard what Kraft said about not winning a playoff game for however many years, I think that there's maybe something to it there. I don't think this one game, they're going to lose the game and then he's going to get fired like after that game, but if they do lose this game, that really makes a playoff run pretty much impossible. You know, I mean, you have to win out, and I just don't think that anyone assumes that that could happen. So if you lose to this Cardinals team who's not very good, then that may, in some offices up there at Patriot Plant, that may, you know, signify the end of the season. And if the season's over and they're not making the playoffs, then maybe that's the next domino to drop. I don't necessarily think that it's going to all come down to that one game, but I could see how it could. Does that make sense? Like, I
no,
can
but
see
isn't there like a, like, it would not be just, they were never going to, no one's ever going to lose a job over one thing, but like, right, when all the bad decisions kind of like, you know, just bottleneck,
yeah,
and sure enough, it ends up, they're bottlenecking in Arizona, a team that is completely dysfunctional. And that's the thing. Like, if you lose to a team like Arizona that is terrible defensively, dysfunctional on offense. We heard aboard Olasky, right? Wasn't he say? Didn't he say, like, this team, this offense is worse than yours? Like, what they're going through on defense is worse. Like, their entire, the Arizona's entire season has been a disaster.
I think Ross Tucker might have said
was
that.
Was it Ross?
Yeah,
yeah.
Who said that this is, yeah, a more painful offense.
Yes.
It's but painful. It's more painful because they have more talent. Like, they have a good quarterback.
Kyler
they
just
have
runs around.
Hopkins, who's an all-world wide receiver. Connor's a pretty good running back. Like, they have talent on that offense, and they're underachieving. The Patriots, no one really thinks, like, you know what I mean? They're underachieving, but no one thinks they're that much better. Like, you know, nobody thinks they're on par with the Cardinals and what they have.
So to add to that, so you think about, like, okay, so you're taking a road trip, you're playing against a team that has, that's just has so many issues. Let me read them to you, because Ben Volen wrote about, like, all the issues that they have down in Arizona. He says, but the turmoil goes beyond Murray, Kyle Murray, mm-hmm, you know, obviously the quarterback there, and just like how bad he's been. I said, in May, they suffered the death of cornerback Jeff Gladney in a car accident. In August, running backs coach James Saxon was placed on leave after being charged with domestic battery. In November, offensive line coach Sean Coogler was fired after allegedly groping a woman the night before the game against
the
49ers in Mexico,
right?
In Mexico City. Offensive assistant Don Schupert was also dismissed for undisclosed reasons earlier this year. And then you have, like, the injury and suspensions. Receiver DeAndre Hopkins
tight
and Marquise Brown
over there, huh?
Didn't play in a game together until week 12. And tight end Zach Ertz suffered a season-ending knee injury in week 10. So think about it. Like, to Bedard's point, right, this should be like taking candy from a baby. Like, we know you have some issues, but theirs are worse. You got a better head coach. You got a head coach in Arizona that has completely lost control. Mm. Completely lost control. And then I didn't even add all the things that former professional football players have said about Kyler Murray.
Peterson, is that what you're
Peterson,
talking about?
Patrick said Peterson.
That Kyler Murray only cares about Kyler Murray. And I heard the Midday Show, those guys, Gresh and Keefe, they tried to lend some context to it and play a longer clip because there's just a 15-second clip, yeah, going around of him saying that. And it actually made it sound worse. Yeah, can we hear this real quick?
Yeah, you think Cliff Kingsbury may be the scapegoat in regards to their struggles?
It ain't no maybe. He will.
He will be.
Yeah, yeah, he will be.
Uh-huh.
He will be. And the crazy thing about it, the guy who hired him will still have a job.
Yep. It sounds about right. I initially was thinking that they probably would stick with him because of the contractual agreement he has. But now just seeing how bad they've been. And then
man, they fired a coach after a season, man.
Yeah. And he signed that extension last March. But see, just verbally now, vocally, Kyler Murray is talking about, And I don't like how he's doing that. I think he should keep some things privately. But it tells me he doesn't care about his head coach. And he's putting everything on the head coach, basically saying
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray. That's just a matter of the fact.
Well, I got to
so.
I can't argue.
No,
I don't know him personally. You played with him for a few years, so I got to take your word for it.
It wasn't the other one. Sorry, Larry Fitzgerald retired early because he didn't want to deal with Kyler Murray. That was the other one. It was two.
Okay.
There was Patrick Peterson and Larry Fitzgerald basically saying, I ain't dealing with this anymore. This guy's spoiled. This guy's a brat. This guy, like, is just doesn't, we don't think alike. So I'm not even going to bother trying to coexist with this guy. I'd rather retire.
So Patrick Peterson played on the Cardinals for 9 seasons.
Yeah.
I think that this is, even giving the context to it, makes it worse. Because it's not as if he was primed to give that answer. He pulled that answer out like he's been walking around saying that since he left them in 2020. Like, for him to talk about what's going to happen with Cliff Kingsbury, all this is going to fall on the coach, and what about, you know, the GM who hired the coach and ownership and this. And it's like, oh, it's Kyler Murray only cares about Kyler Murray.
So Kyler Murray also, like, you know, so he hears the criticism and he's rabbit ears like crazy. And so his comment would be, hey, where was all this noise when we were 10-2? Remember, like, what was it? They got this fast start last year. They were 10-2. I would say, what happened? You were 10-2, then how did it end? Like, they just crumbled.
Sounded like a lot of things that Ben Volen listed, what you just read from. They got smashed in their offseason. Some things happened that they could control and some things that were not in their control.
Yeah, so
they didn't handle
just
it
well. Circle back, like, if you have an obvious great opportunity
you
here
have
the next
2 weeks.
You have
a franchise and a team in disarray.
Oh, man, beyond
they're not
belief.
Good. They're not good on the field, and they have major issues in the locker room. They have major issues off the field. Their coach is on a burning hot seat. Mm. Everything is a mess out there.
Fourier has been predicting Cliff Kingsbury is going to be fired for, I think, 2 months now.
Well, really? No, it's because
that's not a
what?
Dig, by the way.
That like, was part of my little how are they going to win.
It's kind of remarkable that Cliff Kingsbury, no disrespect, man, but it's kind of remarkable that you still have your job at this point.
Well, so listen,
Patrick Peterson saying, like, look at all this crap that you're dealing with.
So the Cardinals are 12th place in the NFC, three games out of the final wild card spot. They're not going to get it. The offense can't score. They're only averaging 19.3 points per game. The defense
I thought they
allows
were going to contend for the West this year. Like, I really
so
did. I thought that there was a real possibility they'd be up there with the Rams, who I didn't think would suck either, and the Niners. I didn't think the Seahawks would
based
do this.
On what?
Based on their last season and how the Rams kicked their ass in the playoffs. I know, but I'm like, all right, well, they're a playoff team at least, and it seems like they're putting something together here.
Something special.
And this year they came out and have been a mess.
Well, going back to the origin of this, though, so, I mean, this is all to spell out what a disaster Arizona is. Hmm. And so Bedard's take is that this game against a franchise in complete disarray, a disaster situation, that this is what Bill's future with the Patriots hangs on. I find every part of this take or report or whatever you would call it that Bedard is putting out there very bizarre. And I say it because I don't think this is the most important game that Bill has coached since Brady left. I think probably one of the most important was when Brady came back in week 4 of last season. That was a pretty important game. Okay,
different,
I think we forget about that one.
A different
Wait,
aspect
I got
of
other,
important,
I've,
though.
I've got other ones. How about that second Jets game a couple weeks ago that I think was the only game this season that we said was absolutely must win, and that was not even through the halfway point of the season. We said you have to beat this Jets team a
You're
second
coming
time.
Off a bye.
You have to. They're in your division. Like, you have to have some respect in your division. So for that first part, I totally don't agree with that. Yes, they should win this game. I believe on Bedard's podcast, he says that he expects them to win this game. So there's that. But the other side of this is what I believe. Like, I agree with Tommy Curran coming on our radio show, his podcast, all the other platforms that he's on, saying that it's possible Belichick has a tighter leash with the Crafts going into this offseason than you would expect, or that he's on thin ice, or however you want to say it. But it's about what happens in the offseason. Like, I'm sorry, regardless of what happens going forward, I think realistically, this is a lost season for the Patriots. Your quarterback regressed. If you sniff the playoffs and you get into the playoffs, it'll be miraculous for you to make it past the first round. Yeah. If you have a playoff win, that's like a That's like a Cinderella story. And I don't mean to come off so negative. It's just the reality of where you are. And what determines the future of Belichick with the franchise is going to be if he can make the dramatic moves that the offense requires in the offseason. If he can bring in the play caller, if he can add the much needed protection and other playmakers for Mac Jones. That's where he's on thin ice, is more the GM side of it in the offseason than what happens with these next couple weeks, and certainly what happens on Monday Night Football. I just find that whole take so odd.
Go to John real quick, because I'm curious about the whole Judgment Day.
Yeah,
like, this
I like
is like,
hear
oh,
it. So,
no, doomsday scenario.
John's in the car. John, you're on.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, John.
Yeah, I don't think Belichick's job is I don't think Belichick's job is at stake at all in terms of the Crafts firing him. But here's what I do think is at stake. I think what happens if they lose this game tonight, I think at that point, there's no way Belichick's going to be able to spin to Kraft this offseason that he wants to bring Patricia and Judge back. And then if he wants to bring them back and Kraft says no, then there's a possibility Bill leaves on his own. So that's what I think Judgment Day may be, is Belichick may leave on his own. If the Patriots do well, if they win 3 out of the next 5, maybe get into the postseason, have a good game, then you can see Bill spinning this to Kraft. Yeah, this just took a little longer than we thought. Matty P's okay. We'll do fine this upcoming season. And that's, I hope that that doesn't happen. I'd rather the Patriots get blown out tomorrow night, knowing that Judge and Patricia are both going to be gone if that happens.
Thank you, John. I think he meant Monday night.
And here's the other thing I think will happen. I don't think, like, firing Patricia, I think, is something that Bill won't do. He put him in a position that he was doomed to fail in. And I don't think he really personally holds him accountable, right? It's like, listen, it was my bad for thinking you were capable of doing something that obviously you weren't. My bad. My bad.
But so, they reassign him.
I do, yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's leaving the building.
He's not leaving, no. But he's not going to be in this position.
Yeah.
The caller, John, made it sound like he thinks that there's a possibility that he stays in as offensive
not
coordinator
in
the offseason.
Not a chance. Wouldn't that just be the ultimate stubborn move by Bill?
Yes.
Like, that would just, and I feel like that he's got it in him. Like, screw you. I'm doing it anyways.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me ask you this, because everyone's got that.
My system's so good, anybody can run, yeah. Right?
Like, coaches are coaches, right? Yeah. We switched it up.
Everyone has that stubbornness in them. True. Everybody does. But don't you have to be kind of like pushed to an extent to be that stubborn?
What do you
like,
mean, pushed to be stubborn?
That arrogant.
Yeah, like I don't see how what the Crafts have done to him or what they would do that would push him to be that stubborn, like to push back that much. Unless
like
they
out of
came
spite,
in,
like he's going to push back out of spite.
I feel like the only situation where something like that could happen would be if they came in and they were like, you know what, you can't be Instacart lady anymore, to quote you. Like, you can't go shopping for your own groceries. We're bringing in somebody to oversee this. And he's like, fine, F you. I'm going to then have Matty P, my best friend, be offensive coordinator.
Well, then
like
you're
it's
playing.
It's got to be like a spite game.
See, then I think you're now playing a game that you're undoubtedly going to lose because I'll just fire you.
But going like down in flames.
Yep. If that's the life, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. Like, I'll eat it. I'll be fine. A lot of TV money coming in. Like, well, we'll be fine. I'll bring in a young coach, and I'm going to fire your son too. How about that? You play nice.
Let's go to Pat in Marshfield. Pat, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
So I think, the biggest problem with this team right now is the offensive line. They can't protect the quarterback whatsoever. And, if the quarterback's protected, then I think almost everything else will fall into place.
All right. Thank you, Pat. There were some pauses in there.
Who's in charge of that offensive line again, by the way?
That'd be Matty P.
Matt Patricia. That's all.
That's really Bill.
Maybe another thing you could reassign him from.
Well, Bill's in charge of everything.
I would put him back to the defense. I'd give him a defensive position to coach. He would be cornerbacks, linebackers, D-line, whatever. He would be back on the defensive side.
What? Ryan wants to point something out to you.
You just said position again. This is what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. It got me.
What did I say?
It's kind of cute, actually.
It's kind of cute. Hi, Daddy. I would like a...
Can I have a bicycle? Absolutely ridiculous.
I love how it's
anyway,
so cute
I don't
to you.
Know. Like, I just don't buy it. I get what he's saying about... I believe that that Robert Kraft and definitely Jonathan Kraft are pissed off that they got flexed out of Sunday Night Football for the Commanders and Giants, which actually has playoff implications. And it makes even more sense now seeing, I know they flexed it out before that Raiders game last night, but it makes even more sense what a dud of a game that could be. But other than saying like, hey, this is your last time in primetime this season, so make it count. Like, I just don't buy that this is the most important post-Brady era and that his game and that his future hinges on it. It's just a stretch to me.
No, I know.
Maybe people down there are saying that.
Hey, but nobody's listening. But it's real, though. So it is percolating. So if anybody had any issues with him in the past, like, now's your opening to
Bill.
Kill Bill Volume 50. Mm. This is it.
We got to bring up one Cardinals coach. He gives zero Fs about what Bill thinks, the way that he described the offensive play calling.
We'll hit
that and out of context, or context not included. That's what it's called. Sorry, I'm screwing up our own segment.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I feel like my
made it.
Nah.
I don't know how.
I wish you could just, like, just play some music for Mega just to dance.
What do you think I'm doing?
That's what this is.
No, I know. I'm, like, watch her on the Twitch. It's delayed. There she go. Here comes the hands. If you're watching on Twitch, you can check it out. Oh, my God. She's like, she reminds me of my 10-year-old.
Why?
You're just so, like, you in that chair. It's like, yeah, you're... You look so tiny in that chair.
Twitch.tv/BostonWE.
Yeah, I still don't know it.
I have no shame. When I was younger, my sister used to call me Noshami.
Noshami?
Because it means no shame.
That's an excellent quality, though.
I guess so.
Especially on the dance floor.
Make an ass of yourself in public.
No, if you're self-conscious on the dance floor, it's worse than being a bad dancer.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I think.
It's awkward.
And you wouldn't know. You're no shame. And
I've never felt
an amazing dancer.
I've never felt self-conscious on a dance floor. Anyway, can we hear Vance Joseph? This is the Arizona Cardinals defensive coordinator saying how he feels the Patriots offense looks.
I see an offense that's running the football well. You know, it's a very conservative pass game. You know, lots of screens, all kind of screens. It's like a defensive guy's calling offense. You know, it's how a defensive guy will call offensive plays, right? You know, let's not turn the ball over. Let's get 4 yards of play and, you know, try to burn clock. And that's what they're doing. You know, and that's what he's going to do on Monday night. And he's going to be patient. You know, maybe take a shot here, you know, from time to time. But for the most part, it's running game, it's quick game, and it's screens, you know. So that means the defensive guy. That's what he's doing. He's calling like a defensive guy would call plays.
So, yeah, so a lot of people are like, you're like, oh, you know, he's finally like a defensive coordinator, because they've all probably said the same thing. They've already they've all felt the same way. He actually said it. And I'm sure it's going to be, oh, you know, it's bulletin board material. We got one. Like, if Max Ball is saying, thank God somebody said it out loud. It can't just be analysts that are calling out. It has to be an actual defensive coordinator. Can you just imagine Vance Joseph and his defensive coordinator, like this meeting, his team meeting? Guys, they do three things, okay? They do three things, and that's it. Are they going to take shots? Sure, okay? But mostly, this is what they're going to do. Like, it should be a real easy learning experience for you guys. But still, like, I mean, they're so dysfunctional and out of place, it still probably will suck. But it should be an even matchup.
I just like the moment where he clearly, somebody in the front row or something in the press conference, their eyes widen or something, and he realized that he stepped in it maybe a little bit, and then he's like, huh.
It's how a defensive guy will call offensive plays, right?
You know, he's
let's,
like,
let's not turn
right?
the ball over. Let's.
He's
it
not
seemed
lying.
Like he was going to say,
show me the lie.
No, he's like, right?
Yeah.
Hey, gentleman in the front, you. Hey, right? Am I lying?
Why are you booing me? I'm right.
I mean, guys, what are we doing here? Like, it's like, everyone knows what's going on here. A defensive guy is calling plays and he sucks at it.
Slowly, like a hook comes out. He pulls him off.
Too late now, you can't back it up.
He's just going to do 4 yards at a time, 4 yards, and he sees the guy and he's like, oh, wait.
You know, yeah. That's what he's going to do on Monday night. He's going to be patient. You know, maybe take a shot here, you know, from time to time. But for the most part, it's running game, it's quick game, and it's screens, you know. So
that's it.
And it has a compliment.
And what did Max say about the quick game again?
Didn't he say it sucks? Yeah.
He said he loved it.
Oh, yeah, right. He
loved the quick game.
He
loves the way it's
shouting on the sideline. Yeah. He was saying, I effing love this
quick game.
This
is awesome, you guys. This is my coordinator. He is my champion.
This is the happiest I've ever been in my life.
Can't you tell?
I believe in him.
Part of me wants a meltdown, but...
Another meltdown from
I
him?
Do.
Well,
yeah.
Should the Patriots take the
do.
Bait here? I mean, if they know this is what they're expecting, do you try and do
spread
something
it out.
Else? You don't have the ability to no, spread
yes,
it out.
Well, here's the annoying part, is that the Arizona Cardinals, this wonderful defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, is running the worst red zone defense in the league. So now the Patriots could very well, if they have their S together, get into the red zone and actually execute there consistently for the first time the entire season, and then just wag their butts at Vance Joseph and be like, how do you like this quick game, this conservative play? Huh? How do you like Matt Patricia with his pencil behind his ear? How you like that? How you like that?
No.
Like,
no.
That's,
it would be like, it is funny though. I know he didn't. He's probably just like, he doesn't even care at this point in time. Like, he'll probably end up getting fired also because his defense is terrible. But it is crazy because you said it earlier. It's like, he should really shut up
Yeah.
Like, his defense.
Like, bro, you suck, like, too.
You're terrible. What do you think Bill's saying about your defense? Like, dude, they can't do this. They can't stop this. They're penalized more than we are, guys. Can you imagine there's another team out there that's penalized worse than us?
It'd be funny if Bill was like, it looks like an offensive coach calling that defense.
I know. That would have been great.
We got Bill's response. Let's just play this real quick. Bill was asked about this by Andrew Callahan down at practice at Gillette today. This is what he said.
Bill, yesterday, Vance Joseph described your offense as looking like a defensive guy is calling it. Not asking you to speak for him. But do you agree with the premise that an offense can operate, as he described it, like a defensive coach would want, prioritizing time of possession? And
God, a longer question, Andrew. Why don't you?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, whatever he said, so. Great, ask him about it.
Do you see any common themes with perhaps defensive head coaches with defensive backgrounds favoring that style offensively, a more conservative attack?
I can't think of any offensive coach that I have ever talked to that has been in favor of turning the ball over.
Except Matt Patricia.
So. Start with that.
Let's just cut it there. I do love when Bill is like, this is so ridiculous.
That has been a favorite turn of the ball over.
I have to laugh as I say it. Can't help but laugh. All right, let's go to Context Not Included. Last call is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
That clock
the easy
doing?
Way to donate your car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Now it's a little segment, Context Not Included. All right, Maloney Fourier, Mego, we got Lou out today. He's got an off day. We have Arcan sitting in his seat.
He's not really. Do that over again. That was, I want more energy.
Okay.
I want more attitude. Start us off with the right attitude.
Welcome to an incredible afternoon of Boston sports.
I think that even if he switched him, it wouldn't get any better.
But Lou, Christian, you're...
Yeah. Oh, what? I'm not really going to do anything, but I need some alone time, so I'm saying I'm working
out. Right. Speaking of crazy...
What are you doing?
What makes you think an Italian from the Northeast, his name would be Bryce Wyatt?
You identify as a country star now.
Can we go to this final point, the thing I think?
What?
How will you send them? I'm going to send them one by one. Won't put a little bit of that line.
Is this a church song?
Yes, is a church sound.
This is Brock Ashley.
Sound. Song.
We're going to expand Marcus Jones's package.
Oh, Jesus. I song love you next. So much.
How will I send them? How will I send them?
Did the alligator have to die for you to look stupid?
PETA.
Let's get some Mountain Dew, you guys. We'll play video games all night. Who's got a pie chart they want to investigate?
I want to shop and be the Instacart lady also.
Omnipotence?
That's not that.
Okay, you say it.
Elability. Well, my name is Big C, but they call me Pack, and if you want to know why, I'm always on attack. What?
Can I get a witness?
Indeed. 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 Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed. Indeed.
Indeed.
I want that girl that's on the afternoon show.
I want that girl with a funny
she's so
voice.
She's so skinny.
She looks like Chet Holmgren. Samsonite.
Lobster frappe.
Why don't we bring one of these sandwiches to the negotiation? Yeah. And maybe he'll remember that he's going to miss this sandwich shop.
If your relationship has been struggling due to your ED, just watch Avatar. It's a good impression. Exactly what it sounds like.
The girl with the largest breasts is recognized by wearing a different color.
I don't think that's right.
I was really attracted to the blue chick in that movie.
Same with
Isn't
me.
Isn't that weird?
Nope. First of all, excellent job. Great. Never disappoints
Always by
me.
Ryan Garvin.
I just want to say that I'm really hoping that indeed
catches on.
Yeah.
You can make a t-shirt.
I feel like it should. Of like when you know you're wrong and you just don't feel like fighting anymore, you just go, indeed.
All right. Great week, guys.
Yeah, Ashley.
Martini time.
Stay tuned
for KJ. He's
go
in for
Binghamton. Let's go get him. Indeed. 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 Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed. Indeed.
Indeed.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.